And grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, brothers and sisters in Christ, we've had a couple awesome messages already given here this morning, and that's going to abbreviate a little bit what I share with you. The sermon notes are in the bulletin for you, and I'm not going to refer to all of that today. You may want to go back and reflect upon some of these words later this afternoon. But All Saints Day, and I just marvel at these words in the epistle reading this morning from 1 John 3, 1 to 3, and I'd like to reread these words. A portion of them are up on the screen for you, but see what kind of love the Father has given us, that we should be called children of God, and so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know Him. Beloved, we are God's children now. And what we will be has not yet appeared, but we know that when He appears, we shall be like Him, because we shall see Him as He is. And everyone who thus hopes in Him purifies himself as He is pure. We are children of God. Could we hear a better announcement than that one? And in a little Jedediah's baptism this morning, God claimed Jedediah as His precious child. God announces to Jedediah, along with all of us, that he is God's child. We don't deserve this, and as Luke emphasized, it's not something that we can accomplish. We can't bring ourselves. Jedediah had nothing to do with his life beginning on this earth physically, and just as much so, we have nothing to do. There's nothing we bring to the table in order to be called a child of God. We, in essence, are sinful human beings that deserve nothing more than God, nothing less than God's condemnation for eternity. And so in the beginning of my notes here, Romans 3 is referenced in Ephesians 2. And in each of those passages, God really reveals to us the weakness in our own sinful nature, that we have all sinned, that we all fall short of the glory of God. And in Ephesians, in the King James Version, we hear that we, in those first couple verses of Ephesians 2, that we are children, yes, but we're children of disobedience, and we're children of wrath. That's our condition. And it all goes back to our first parents, Adam and Eve. It all goes back to inheriting that original sin. The moment our life begins in our mother's womb, we, in essence, are dead spiritually. We get the spiritual death gene, if you will, of original sin. And that is powerful, it is devastating, it is destructive, and by our own means and strength, there's no way that we can deliver ourselves from that condition that we inherit and then in our sinful lives that we contribute to. In fact, if we're left to our own means, as John writes earlier in his first epistle that we're looking at this morning in 1 John 2, 15 to 17, left to our own means, what we're going to do is pursue selfish desires. We're going to lust after worldly things. We're going to boast in ourselves and our accomplishments. And all you need to do is look at the unbelieving world, or dare I say, even at our sinful nature, and we find where we even succumb to those kinds of things. And it's the reality and the devastation of sin and the corruption it's brought to the world and to our individual lives. And apart from Christ's intervention, we are powerless. We are absolutely powerless. In Ephesians 2, we learn that we're powerless to change, that we are Satan's children. We're under his power and dominion, and there's nothing you and I can do about that. But praise God that He loved us so much, He loved the world so much, that He chose willfully, despite the world's rebellion, He chose to do something about it. And so we hear these incredible words of promise through Christ in 1 John 3:1. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. Wow. God's love poured out upon us as it's poured out on Jedediah through baptism this morning. And you know, when God calls us to be His children, it's not only in name. It's much greater than just having that name, that title. You know, there's people that want to hide their identity, and so they will change their name. Same person, but they have a different name in order to hide their identity. But with us as God's children, we have much greater blessings than just being called children of God. But in that calling, God intervenes in our lives. He changes us in very drastic ways. We are reborn. We are recreated, which is awesome. It's incredible. And Luke alluded to that, I think, in Romans chapter 6, verses 3 through 4, where we have been raised to new life. Our old Adam has been crucified. Our sinful nature, the power that it has to consume our lives, has been taken away. And we have been given this new person, this new life. And with that new life, the willingness and the desire to genuinely want to return God's love to him. That's a radical change. And only God can make that change. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, God says, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone. The new is here. Isn't that an awesome promise? The new creation. God has created a new life within the heart of every believer, and we are changed. And the most awesome thing about being changed is we're no longer motivated by the law. Have you ever thought about that? You know, the law only encourages us actually even to sin more. If you tell a little child in a kitchen, you know, you can get into every cupboard in the kitchen, but don't get in that corner one. What's that going to encourage them to do? They're going to go right for the corner door. And that's the way the law operates. It reveals our sin, but it, in no way can it motivate or empower us to no longer want to sin. That takes a change of heart, and God has done that. And in that change, guess what our motivation is now? It's the gospel. It's looking at the cross. It's realizing how much Jesus has loved you and me and continues to love you and me. And through that love lavished upon us, there's that desire within us to want to return that love to God in our obedience, in our service to Him, in acknowledging Him in all things. In 1 John 3:9, we hear that no one who is born of God will continue to sin, but because God's seed remains in him, he cannot go on sinning because he has been born of God. Doesn't mean we don't fall into sin, but this no longer sinning means in the sense of without repentance, without the sense of regret, without the desire to acknowledge that sin and seek God's forgiveness with an ongoing life and basis. It's really a new life of repentance. It's a new life of loving others as Christ has loved you and me, and we are now family. Boy, what an incredible family here. Just look around this morning. And I appreciated Larry's children's message and showing the different generations. We're all in this together, aren't we? We're family. We're the family here at Trinity. And for our visitors, we're the family locally at our local congregations. But we're the body of Christ. We're all together in this. And that is incredible. It is awesome. And we are God's representatives. We are ambassadors for Christ. What an honor that the Lord bestows upon him. And so the ministry of the church continues on this earth. And it's not an easy journey, is it? Because we're saint and sinner. We have a battle that rages on within us. There's part of us that wants to turn away from God. There's part of us that really does want to lust after what all the world has to offer. And we battle that. But we have this new man of faith, God's gift. and we live in his forgiveness. And so the church continues to function on earth, but it's not without trials and tribulation and great challenges, and praise God that he is with us in the midst of this journey. But where is this journey leading? One day we're going to be in glory. One day we're going to join our loved ones who have gone before us. We're going to be with all of the church together, never separated like this again. And we will be together as one family for eternity. And guess what? We're not going to have that old sinful nature anymore. We're not going to have that battle raging on within. But we will truly and fully realize the blessings God bestowed upon Jedediah and you and me through our baptism. We will fully understand and realize that when we are in heaven with all the other saints. What a future God has prepared for us. And so in the reading from Revelation, as Ken shared it with us this morning, we hear about the great multitude that no one could count. And you think of the division in the world and the hatred and the strife we see even in our own nation today. But here's what it's like in heaven. A great multitude that no one could number from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages. We're all together in this, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes. There's that clothing, Luke. We receive Christ's clothing. That's our ticket, if you will, into glory in heaven. And what is the church doing but praising God, crying out in a loud voice? And I love the hymn, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." And then not only do you have the sound, can you imagine what that sounds like? The whole church singing together. And not only that, but then you have the angels. I wonder what the angels sound like. But thousands upon 10,000 angels. There's a lot of angels, as God reveals to us in his word. And they're joining in the worship of God because they too are God's creation. And what are they praising God for? But they're saying, "Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Wow, there's a big party in glory in heaven. And one day, we're all going to be there together, where there's no more thirsting or hunger or pain or sorrow, and most of all, death will be non-existent. Do you know we won't even need faith? Because faith is trusting in what we cannot see. In heaven, we're going to see the Lamb on the throne with our own eyes. And we won't need hope, because hope is longing for those things that we know are ours by God's promise, but in heaven, we'll have it all. And so hope will no longer be necessary. But what's still going to be there? It's love. God's unconditional love. And imagine the capability that we will have to love one another perfectly for eternity. That's our future. Well, in the meantime, here we are. And we continue this journey, and it's not an easy one. There's great battles, the temptations we go through, and just the struggles of life on earth. But isn't it just an awesome thought as we gather here worshiping this morning, as little Jedediah was baptized this morning, that in heaven worship goes on and praise to the very same God that you and I worship on earth. The church on earth, the church in heaven together. And on the last day, we will all be together for eternity. That's our future. May God encourage us and bless us as we continue, as Mr. Whitney leads us to do this morning, encourages us to remember the next generations and to continue to pass the good news of God's love, his truth, that the church can continue to flourish and grow. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, who truly does change things, who has changed us, and who gives life, amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts and minds always in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. And we continue our worship with the offering.